What the Actual Fork podcast is co-hosted by two intuitive eating registered dietitians, yours truly, Sammy Previtt, owner of Fine Food Freedom, and Jenna Warner, owner of Happy Strong Healthy.
We can't stand diet culture bullshit and love keeping it real. Our mission is for all humans to believe that they are made for so much more than chasing a smaller body. We are also here to share with you that food can be fun and pleasurable again.
Although we are medical professionals, we are human beings too. We are not afraid to share our deepest, darkest secrets and how many years of our lives were taken by diet culture.
We started this podcast so no human has to feel alone in their journey towards food freedom. So get comfy and join us for a casual combo where you can expect to laugh, cry, learn, and grow.
We are so grateful that you're here. So if you enjoy this podcast and want to connect further, we invite you to follow along on Instagram at @whattheactualforkpod and subscribe, rate, and review our podcast so we can continue to share this message with more and more people. Now, let's get into it. That like is our episode. I feel like our episodes are basically what the actual fork moments now.
This is good to keep in the episode. Let's roll with it. Bring us
okay.
Home, Sam.
Okay, so welcome back to another episode of What the Actual Fork podcast. And we're kind of realizing that instead of having a What the Actual Fork moment of the week and then moving on, every episode is just one big What the Actual Fork moment. So Jen, I'm passing it right over to you because you're coming in hot with one today. So what do you got for us?
I just, there's like three layers to this moment. And The first layer is the original video that I saw that I ended up stitching on both social medias that we will talk everything about. And this video was specifically like, I knew when it scrolled on my For You page and it came up, I knew that the comment section was going to be like just barbaric. And so I immediately just went right into the comment section of this video. It's a mom, single mom of three young kids living in a larger body who is making her kids breakfast. And she starts out the video like she knows what she's doing. She's causing controversy because she knows how people are going to react. And I love that. She's just pouring a bunch of canola oil in a pan. Because she's about to fry some donuts, some homemade donuts for breakfast. And it says like, cook breakfast with me. So I knew the comment section was going to be wild. And so I went directly to it. And what I was surprised to see in the comment section was, you know, I wasn't surprised by how nasty and awful people were being to her. That was expected. And it was just as disappointing as I thought it was going to be. That humanity treats people this way, which will be the topic of our episode. But what it was interesting is that a bunch of people commented, this other creator, her name is Mama C. They said like 100 different comments of people saying Mama C made this exact same breakfast for her kids and everyone applauded her. So I was like, who the F is Mama C? So I then went over to Mama C's page and her entire page is her making processed foods for her kids. Like that's her page. It's make breakfast with me, make lunch with me for my four kids. I think she's in her 20s and she's also single.
And is thin. That was my next question. What I thought you'd get to, what does Mama C look like?
Both women are white. One is living in a larger body. One is thin. Mama C is thin. And the comments, I screenshotted one in the video that I posted. The comments are like, you're such a good mom. Your kids are so lucky to have you. That looks delicious. And let me tell you, it's frozen pizza, chicken nugs, mac and cheese.
Which we
donuts,
love. And we're
like
here
all
for
fine things. But when, I don't even know the other creator's name. That's my fault. I should look that up. When this other creator, post these things, she's getting, you're killing your kids. You're promoting obesity. How dare you? This is disgusting. This is the problem with our world. Plus like the unsolicited advice of like, you should do X, Y, and Z. Like, bitch, she didn't ask. Like she didn't ask you for your opinion. So like, there's that piece too. So I stitched the video and just simply said, if you were curious about what weight stigma and fat phobia is, this is a perfect example and just explained. This woman is getting hate messages. Mama C made the same breakfast and she's getting applause. Like that was it. TikTok. I have 122,800 followers on TikTok. I mean, on a good day, a video gets like 1,000 to 2,000 views like right away. And then we'll just like stay there. This video has two views. Sam can't even see it.
I was going to say, and
my profile.
I just tried to find this video before we clicked record, and it is not visible to me on your page. I can't see it.
So TikTok is literally shadow banning the entire conversation, but allowing people to literally berate and belittle this person over and over again on every single one of her videos. So, like, ask me how this makes any sense.
Yeah, especially when her content is going viral, and when you go to the comment section, it's all hate. And then when you're literally stitching it and talking,
and
that's something I see with TikTok. Anytime I use the words disordered eating or eating disorder in any TikTok video, it gets like way, and I know you're using the words here, weight stigma, fat phobia, which makes sense. I bet you those as well. I could go back on my content, and I don't know about shadow ban, but like very low views for trying to talk about these subjects.
Like it's so insanely disappointing and scary to me that I don't even know where to begin, because the reality is that like they're allowing the toxic conversations to spread, but the education to be silenced. And again, like I wasn't even giving an opinion. I was just simply saying like this is an example of fat phobia and weight stigma, and weight stigma is an important piece of the health conversation. Like, how do you think this woman's mental health is? Right? Like, but then somebody in support of her, like, you can't even see the video. That means that it's literally blocked on my page. So somebody was able to see it because, or I was probably one of the views, and then somebody else was able to see it.
Maybe the other person that saw it reported it and said, this is expensive.
Fuck this person.
Yeah. Who knows? Okay, so it's getting shadow banned on TikTok, but then on Instagram, what is happening on your page?
Right now, it's landing on the correct side of Instagram, which is great. Let's just give it time, though. I'm sure that will change, as it always does. But it has 23,000 views in just a couple hours on Instagram, and people, there it is. People are agreeing, just stating, you know, I've seen this creator's posts and it's absolutely awful what they do to her. And somebody wrote, anytime we see the phrase single mom of three, that's your cue to back the hell off and not give your opinion. She's absolutely correct. Somebody else wrote, if she had made them a salad for breakfast, she still would have gotten abused. Also correct. And that is also like a huge piece of this conversation. It doesn't matter what this creator was feeding her kids. And the other like layer to this is what people always assume is like, if she's making them donuts today, she's making them donuts every single day for breakfast, which is like the wrong assumption. And we, even though these people let us into their lives by posting these videos, they're not showing you the whole story and the whole picture. And we don't even know if her kids eat the donuts, you know? So like the fact that people can make these hateful remarks and claims and like discuss health based off things that they don't know is just absolutely putrid to me.
Yes.
And I think tale as old as time though, right?
Correct. And I feel like we have a lot of episodes that touch on some of these. I know the one with Sharon Maxwell we did was really, really well done on this, but I would love to talk more about like, for those who are maybe newer to this space, like what is weight stigma? What is
fat phobia?
And fat phobia. And like, who struggles with weight stigma and fat phobia? Who's contributed to these things? We can like kind of share some of our experiences and just kind of riff on this.
So, I also think, you know, it's such a great thing that you remind our audience of this, because I do remember being very new to the conversation of fat phobia when we first started recording. And I don't remember what episode it was. It could have been Brie, Body Image with Brie, Brie Campos, where we talked about how, because this is always a part of the conversation, and I myself, before being educated in it, was this way as well of like, well, you can have stigma in any size body. Yes, that is correct. But it's not the same when you're living in a larger body in this country. It's just
correct. Correct. Like, so any sized body can have body image issues, but those that reside in larger bodies are going to have way more, and this is a perfect example, way more shaming, discrimination, hate, oppression, like truly like death comments for simply existing, where, like you said, the other person, her comment section was all again, doing the exact same act, cooking donuts, cooking some type of processed food for their children, feeding their children, period, was applauded. But this other creator that you speak of is getting truly like hate and death comments, right?
I want to read the exact quote from the one that I screenshotted and used in my video. It says, somebody wrote on the page, literally, Mama C did this exact thing and no one said anything bad in the comments. So I was like, all right, let's go look. The post is lunch for my kids. And the top comment says, such a good mom. Seriously, you're such a badass and your kids are so lucky to have you. She's making frozen pizza. It's not any different than making donuts. Like, it's the same thing. It's the size of her body is all that people see. And this person has 1.5 million. million followers. And the other creator has, let's just go look just for discussion's sake here.
And give her some loving too.
Shout yeah.
Her,
let me know. Silence my phone here. It's Alexandra Sabol, S-A-B-O-L. And she has 371,000 followers. I'm not a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. Spread kindness is her post or her page. And her entire page is just cooking with her kids or cooking for her kids, I should say, for the most part.
Oh, I can't wait to give her a follow.
Right? Like, it's just absolutely, it's just wild. I don't even know any other words to say about it. I do feel like I say this often, but as a mom, as a parent, there is nothing I value more than my time. And one thing, especially as a person that pre-kids and while having kids, I really do love to cook. But the number one thing that seems to be the hardest to accomplish at nighttime after a day of either working or parenting or doing both, which is most of my days, cooking and the act of cooking sometimes just feels really, really challenging. And because of that, I truly am so grateful for Green Chef because there are so many different options for meals that I can customize to suit my preferences. My meal plan for the week are flavor preferences, things that my husband and I love. We can mix and match all of them. There's over 80 different flavor packed options. And for the most part, dinner is in 30 minutes or less. So having that convenience, having the opportunity to switch up flavors, mixing and matching, and getting dinner done quickly without having to think about, do I have the ingredients? Do I have the time? Do I have the capacity to make it? The instructions are so easy to follow. The ingredients are all there for you. And again, it is done in 30 minutes or less. And with that said, and for those reasons, I would be absolutely delighted if you would join me in this cooking journey by going to greenchef.com/fork50 and using code fork50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. That's greenchef.com/fork50 using code fork50 will get you 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. So yeah, I think it was Aaron Flores maybe who was the first time we talked about fat phobia on Drunk Dietitians back in like 2020, who really just defined the phrase and helped our listeners try and understand what that is. And can you recap that for us?
Well, what I wanted to say too, and I feel like you'll agree with me, but I don't want to put words in your mouth, but thinking of ourselves and being the dietitians that we were oh so many years ago versus who we are today, any provider, doesn't matter what medical profession they are, but if we use dietitians as an example, because that's what we are, when you go into a session with a client and make assumptions about their behaviors based on the size of their body, that is weight stigma. So, for example, when we worked as dietitians in more of a diet culture setting, and we just assumed that people in larger bodies were coming into our practice and needed to lose weight, wanted to lose weight, or we also assumed that they ate a certain way or moved their body a certain way because of the size of it, yeah, or didn't, that is weight stigma. And that is what we were. That is what we are taught as human beings. And so I think it's important to shout out that like anybody listening to this podcast, if they're a human being, has caused harm and like gone forward with weight stigmatizing language or acts or thoughts about other humans, because that's how our world has taught us to be. So I want this to be like an episode where you don't need to feel guilt or shame if you're like, wait, wow, like I think those things, or I've thought those things, or, you know, this can be a really great conversation to kind of like open this up and be like, wow. Okay. Can I get curious about like, when do I assume things about people's body? What do I assume about a larger body versus a smaller body? And I think that, you know, that's something that we're all trained this way. Diet culture has trained us this way.
And I think another example, like a perfect example, is the assumption of someone's health status because of the way that they look.
Correct. Correct.
Like, and that is something that, again, we are taught in school, kind of, right? We are taught 100%. That by TV. We're taught that as kids, based on the cartoons that we see on TV. Like, that is a wildly unfortunate example of truth. Like, the quote-unquote bad characters in TV shows and, you know, fairy tales and Disney movies were always in larger bodies. Or made fun of, right? And like, we learn that from a very young age. Like, think about it. Name a movie
that you grew up with. Any movie?
Like, a movie you grew up with.
What did I grow up with? Why am
okay,
I like,
I'll start.
What, I'm like, when I tell you that my brain just went completely dead, like, I'm like, movie. And I'm staring out my window and I literally can't name a fucking movie. This is what happens when you have a baby in 2 weeks. Your brain does not work.
So Sammy's having her baby in 2 weeks. Okay, so think about Disney movies. How about The Little Mermaid?
Wait, I just tried to watch that with Sienna the other day. She did not care for it. It was like the old school one.
No, I wouldn't watch it either. But, oh my God, now I can't think of the octopus.
Okay, so there's an octopus.
My mom came in hot. Ursula.
Oh, Ursula's love that.
Right?
Thank
but
you, Mama.
Ursula's the bad character, and she is not small.
Correct.
Okay, now think of another movie. Go ahead. Okay. You can do it.
Can I do a current day?
Yeah.
Frozen.
Is there a bad guy in Frozen?
Yeah, it's like the man. It's like the white man. They're up to times.
They're up to speed.
Okay, but that makes sense what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. Like, it's villainized. Or here, let me go a different direction with it. Okay, so a movie that I'm starting to think of, where especially bringing in weight stigma, is as you were positioning it, like the person in the larger body is the air quotes like bad guy, right? So I think about like the movie Bridesmaids, right? Or what's the one with the a cappella group? Pitch Perfect. Where, right?
My all-time favorite movie.
Yes. But so thinking about the characters that reside in larger bodies. So Pitch Perfect, perfect example, Fat Amy. She literally goes by Fat Amy in there and is the funny, air quotes, joke. Like, she's the butt of the joke, right? Same things with Bridesmaids. I forget the name of her character, but what's Megan?
Melissa McCarthy.
Thank you. Fucking hilarious. She is a hilarious female comic and actress. And again, she is the fat, funny one. Like, we have been taught that if you reside in a larger body, you are the butt of the joke. You are the funny one. If you are residing in this size body, that is the only role that you will be cast, right? In these like adult movies. So that's kind of where my head went when you started to ask those questions.
I'm going to come back with more ideas, but I too am a tired mom. I can't think.
I know. I feel like we have to prep our movies ahead of time.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
But I do want to talk about, so we talked about weight stigma. another way you could say it is weight bias, right? That mm-hmm. describes the negative attitudes, stereotypes surrounding larger bodies in general. Furthermore, fat phobia is an abnormal and irrational fear of being fat or being surrounded by fat people. And so thinking about how those differ in a sense of like when someone watches, I forget the name of the creator that you just said, her video.
Alexandra.
When someone, Sabol, I think, S-A-B-O-L. When yes, someone watches her video, they have, like when someone has internalized fat phobia, right? They have so much fear that like if I feed my child like that, or if I eat those things, I am going to be fat. And they, what they think about fat is so bad, right? Like being fat is the worst possible thing that could happen. And again, I want to normalize this, that everybody, truly everybody in our world has been brought up learning fat phobia, being surrounded by fat phobia. Again, going back to your examples of media, movies, social media, lived experiences with loved ones, you know, we could go on and on. And when you fear that, it is the worst possible thing. And so some people just kind of internalize it, don't talk about it, think that way about themselves. Some people it is expressed in very hateful ways, which we're seeing on this video. So I think it's and good to learn.
Keep going terms. With this. I mean, what other, like what this immediately reminds me of, because right before we started recording, somebody had DM'd me something that said like content can't be seen because the person had blocked me or I had blocked the person. So I wrote back to the girl. I was like, hey, like I can't see it. Can you screenshot what creator that is? And it was Crunchy Mom. And I was like, oh, she's already blocked me. But like that whole quote unquote lifestyle, that's not about the health of our kids or ourselves. That's about an intense internalized fat phobia that goes so deep that it's now being spread and forced upon our children.
Oh, I love you took where you took that. And I'm also giggling because I had no idea. People send me shit all the time. And it says like content can be seen. I had no idea. I must be blocked by a lot of people because I swear to God, like that happens all the time. And I'm like, huh, I can't see it. I wonder why.
It means that either you've blocked them, which I'm sure you haven't, or they've blocked you.
Who knows? That the your guess.
People used to send me the medical medium stuff all the time, and I couldn't ever see it because I had already blocked him.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! Well, okay, so like let's like drop some of the guilt and shame here, because again, like I mean it when I say that like anybody listening, like has had a fat phobic comment or excuse me, thought crossed their mind, has maybe said a fat phobic comment, has thought this way, has experienced weight stigma, has caused weight stigma. Like let's give some tangible takeaways of like how to start reframing, questioning, gaining curiosity. Like, is there anywhere that you start with this, Jenna, when you're working with clients or anywhere that you want to start with it?
I think one of the main differentiators here, and I think in the society that we live in today, it's really, really important to know that you're allowed in any size body to have bad body image days. And you're allowed to have the desires and the thoughts and the wants to physically change your body, no matter what size that you are. The difference is what you do say and think about that, right? Does that make sense? And the truth is, and something that I always like to say, especially being in the stage of life that I'm currently in too, I would be lying to say if I didn't have, you know, bad body image days and moments and thoughts pop up as well. And one of the best things that I feel that I'm able to do is, first of all, talk it out with somebody that I trust, and then meet the thought with a truth, right? So the truth being of, you know, is this thought helping me or hurting me? And any change that I'm thinking about making to eradicate this thought, is that actually for my health? And what does that mean? And really talking through that thought process for me is really, really, really powerful, because it always comes back to, it's not about my health. It's not. And I can instead, like I would tell a client, engage in health promoting behaviors that make me feel physically good and just trust that process to promote health and work on things that make me feel good and make my mental health feel good in that process. So I think that's really, really important to just kind of allow people the space that no matter where you are in life, it's okay to have these thoughts. It's what you do with them that is really important and powerful. And then the second piece of that is when you see weight stigma and fat phobia in real life, you don't have to speak up if you're not comfortable doing so. But maybe if you are comfortable doing so, like I just empower people to stand up in these comment sections if they have the mental capacity to do so, to support the people that are putting their lives out there for whatever reason. It doesn't matter. But like if somebody doesn't ask for you, your specific opinion, like if a video doesn't say, hey, Sam Previtt, can you give your opinion on the breakfast that I'm making my kids? Like, don't, right? Like, and in the comment section, if you feel inclined to say anything, say something like, your kids are so lucky that they're getting breakfast. Or, great job, mama. Or, that looks delicious. Or say nothing. But like the thoughts that you might be having or the desire that you feel to say like, hey, instead give your kid, no, like she didn't ask, right? And like, that's it. Scroll yep. on.
Yep. Didn't ask.
Okay, your turn.
My turn. And I love this because we could talk about this for hours and just keep riffing. So I'm going to try to go to exactly what came up first. One is getting education from people with lived experience in fat bodies. And one of my favorite people that has worked with the Fine Food Freedom team, and I forget if we've had them on here. If we haven't, we need to, is Vinnie Welsby. Have we had
Vinnie? Yes, we have.
Okay. I thought so. I think it's because I've done so much with Vinnie. I'm like,
That's the only reason I know that fat pyramid.
Yes. So that's exactly what I was going to bring up. And I couldn't remember if that was, again, with Fine Food Freedom or what the actual fork. So Vinnie is a wonderful anti-fat bias speaker, educator, content creator, and they have a beautiful image that we will link in the show notes that talks about the levels of anti-fat bias and understanding that there's four levels to this. There is the intrapersonal, which is the negative self-talk, agreeing with the anti-fat bias beliefs that we were taught along the way somewhere, and actively pursuing, like trying not to be fat and truly working towards intentional weight loss with disregarding anything else related to health. Like if your only mission is shrinking your body, then there's the interpersonal fat phobia. So that's the being shamed by loved ones, being rejected as a romantic partner because, you know, of the size of your body, fat jokes, like we've talked about on here. Then there's the institutional and ideological. And those are two levels where like, it's important to note here, you can't, when I say you, we, one another, individually, we cannot eradicate fat phobia. Like this takes an entire world to like be educated and lift up this. But institutional is the medical fat phobia that exists, education and job discrimination, denied access to resources, all of that. And then ideological is the idea of fat people being inferior and thin people being superior, and how it's truly spread across every facet of society. So we'll link that image. And I think it's like understanding that can be so important because it's our responsibility to work through the intrapersonal and the interpersonal and make sure we're not causing the harm. But then thinking about the ideological, like this idea that we have been taught, right, that fat people are worse and thin people are better. Where has this belief system come from? And I love to, or like, where did you learn these beliefs individually? And so with clients, I'm a big analogy gal. And
I love your analogies.
Love a good analogy. So I like to think of like a tree and three parts to a tree. We have the roots underground, we have the trunk, and then we have the leaves and branches. So thinking about that foundational belief system, the roots underground that are so deeply ingrained, that's where you think about where did I learn these messages? What were the initial messages I was taught about body size? What did I hear about my body growing up? What did I hear about bodies around me? Understanding that those foundational pieces grow the tree, right? The roots underground, and they are going to determine your current relationship with your body and how you view bodies, which is the trunk. So where are you getting your information about bodies? Where, you know, where are you having conversations about bodies? And what is your current relationship with your body like? And then leaves and branches being that, what do you want your relationship with your body to look like, your relationship with other people's bodies, how you think about bodies. Like if you could write the most perfect answer out, even if it feels so far away, what does that look like? And so that is a, I guess you could say exercise that we do with clients that I love. I call it like the body image story and really like working through that image together. So, oh, there's so much that goes into this conversation. Now I feel like I'm trying to talk at record speed.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
What I love is how you've taken it from fat phobia into body image, because obviously it's all so connected. And the conversations that we've had about body image on this podcast are some of my favorite. And I've remembered like trinkets and like conversations about it forever. And one of my favorites, again, I think it was Bree Campos, which was, we've had her on twice. And some of her quotes have just rang in my ears for life, but she always says that body image, I believe it was her, I'm going to give her credit, is fluid. And I'm right now I'm staring at the ocean like water, I believe is how she put it, or whoever I'm thinking of put it. And it's constantly changing and it's never still, right? Even if it looks still, it's not. And so you can go from having, you know, from minute to minute, from mirror to mirror, from moment from day to day, feeling differently about your body. And I just think it's so important that we normalize that you're not always going to be the happiest with every moment of your physical body. And that's okay. Yes. Right? Like, I feel like there's this thought out there that in order to be quote unquote healthy and happy, you have to feel that way every single second of every day. And that's just not realistic.
I love that. I think it's it's a beautiful permission to give people too, because I think that comes back to the expectation of like, people think having a positive body image or even a neutral, but like, the idea of having a positive body image doesn't mean that you wake up every day and be like, I love my body. Yes. Like that's not what it's about at all. It's about being able to live your life and not be thinking about your body and not be hyper focused on other people's bodies around you when you walk into a room, or making assumptions about them by just seeing someone's body.
And or thinking everybody is talking about yours.
Correct. Correct. So I feel like this episode is jam-packed with resources. We will link definitely your video in the show notes. We'll link Vinny's levels of anti-fat bias. And we'll also link Bree's account, because I feel like we've mentioned it so many times that if you're looking for body image resources, utilize these accounts and stay curious. And it's not about bringing guilt or shame in if you have said these things, done these things, thought these things, but just really leaning into the curiosity of what would my life look like if I could let go of some of this.
I love that.
Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of What the Actual Fork Pod. We know there are a lot of pods out there, and we are so grateful that you are here listening with us.
So if you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to subscribe, like, share with all of your friends and faves, and don't forget to rate and review and let us know what you want to hear more of. The more we hear from you, the more that we can make these episodes exactly what you want. We would also love to connect with you on Instagram at WhatTheActualForkPod.
We promise to continue to bring you the hottest topics, greatest guests, and the most fun you can possibly have fighting diet culture bullshit. We love you, we appreciate you, and we will see you next week for more fun.